plate a potential nugget.
And the other thing that sort of comes up in the book is Bill being an evangelist for courage, right? You talk about the fact that Bill believed that his coaches could be greater than what they believed, they themselves believed. I'm curious about how that showed up in the way he connected with people and the coaching relationship played out.
You know, this was, as I said before, many of these things that he did are quite simple. It's just that we don't take the time to do them. And also many of these things, our thesis of the book is that the best coach of the team is the manager of the team. So many people, when they hear us talk or read the book, they say, oh, I need an executive coach like Bill Campbell. Well, first of all, there's no one like Bill Campbell, and he's not with us anymore. And there are other fine executive coaches, but if you're the manager of a team, to be the most effective leader, you can also practice some of these coaching principles. Sometimes you need to take off your management hat, put on your coaching hat. And one of these is this idea of this evangelist for courage. This was a quote we got from Shona Brown, which was, or was it Ruth Porat? Now I can't recall. I think it was Shona. But her point was, Bill would make you believe in yourself almost more than you believed in yourself. And as a manager, you know, Bill wanted managers to make their people be an evangelist for courage for their people. In the workplace, in any place, people tend to be risk averse. They don't want to fail. And so it's the manager's job to actually push people to be more daring, to be more courageous. So to become an evangelist for courage, push people to do more by making them believe they can do it. And usually they can. And, you know, so that's a lot of what we want from a coach is someone, you know, yes, we need people to tell it, correct us when we do something wrong and, you know, help us learn. But sometimes you just want someone to cheer, say, man, you're awesome. Keep going. And so, you know, one of my favorite anecdotes from our book is we were talking to Clay Bavor. Clay is a VP here at Google. He oversees our VR and AR products, virtual reality and augmented reality products. And at the time that this story took place, Clay was a product manager and he was just starting to work on AR products. And he was showing an early VR products. He was showing an early product to the Google board. So he was kind of nervous. He's up in front of the Google board and he's demonstrating this thing and they're all wearing the goggles and trying them out. And he's trying to walk people through this demo and something went well. And he hears this clap from the back of the room, like boom, 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 like loud cheering. And it's Bill Campbell cheering him on. And Clay said that moment gave him such confidence and such a boost. And think about it, how often when you're in a meeting and something goes well or someone on your team does something well, you say, you know, like good job or something like that, of course. But how often do you like, yeah, man, stand up and clap? You don't, because it doesn't feel right. But that's what Bill would do. So that's part of being an evangelist for courage is really cheering people and celebrating their successes. And there's an interesting sort of tactical component as well. When we were talking to one of the Apple board members, I don't recall, he talked about how Bill would do this in an Apple meeting as well. Well, Eddie Q told us about how Bill did this when he was showing the Apple board, the Apple Play Store for the first time, and how Bill was like cheering and saying, this is so awesome. And it also sort of gets momentum going in the room if you want to make a decision that way. It's pretty hard to decide against or argue against something when someone has literally stood up and cheered for it. So, you know, there's a tactical aspect as well. But mostly this concept of being an evangelist for courage is just this idea of blowing confidence into people, just trying to boost them up, make them think they can do more than they think they can do.
When I was in McKinsey, we would often use the term insecure overachievers to describe the people that do well in the firm. Now, in the context of my work as an executive coach, I realize that achievement part is often easily taken care of if one works on the insecurity part. It's often about working with a coachee on his or her belief in themselves and ensuring that the imposter syndrome doesn't get a hold of them unnecessarily. Thank you for listening. For more, you could visit the recently revamped website, playtopotential.com. For bite-sized content by theme, please visit the curated playlist section at the website. If you're deriving value in the content, and wish to show your gratitude, I would request you to pay it forward by contributing to Antarang Foundation by visiting the Pay It Forward section on the website playtopotential.com. Your contributions will help thousands of young Indians who come from challenging backgrounds play to their potential. Thank you.